We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN at 924. Holiday traditions, our topic here with the Raleigh County Historical Museum. Joining us here today, Lana, I forget what your title is there. Can you reiterate that again?
Yes, it is a curator of design.
Okay.
So I have the fun job of educational programs and working on exhibits. Always something new every day.
Absolutely. Especially this year. You probably had a lot of adjustments this year with that.
Oh, absolutely. But, my gosh, we live in such a great community here, and partnership really helps get through some of the difficult times. And so we're fortunate to be able to partner with different organizations in the community, and that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that probably more so in the 20th century than anything came about with the holiday is Christmas shopping, the commercialization maybe is the better way to say it, of Christmas. But I don't know how far back that goes here in Raleigh County as far as people. I'm sure gift giving's gone on for eons, but as far as locally here, what gifts that people were buying in the early days?
So in looking at the newspapers, we have some that we were looking at from the 1860s, and then in the 1870s, you could tell was really when there was the commercialism, so to speak, of Christmas, where, for example, this was the Manhattan Nationalist on December 28th, 1877. It said, quote, "There has never been a Christmas before when our merchants have sold so many goods as this." So that really exemplifies that they're doing pretty good business around Christmas time with gift giving. And some of those gifts, that's what also is fun to see, some of those gifts are a little different than what we might think of today. And some of the ones that were a little more humorous, this was the Manhattan Beacon. This is December 10th, 1873. It said, quote, "A good and useful Christmas present to a gentleman or boy will be a carton of Elmwood collars, containing 100 collars. Any furnishing store can supply them." And so what they're referring to, those collars, it was common to have the detachable collar on your shirt, so the collarless shirt, because, of course, that's what gets dirty at first, are the collars and your cuffs of your shirt. So it was easier to clean just that portion of the shirt. So here it's encouraging people to buy collars. And it made me laugh because I felt like for a boy to get 100 collars, that might be the equivalent for kids today when they get the package of socks as their Christmas gift, as opposed to that toy they really wanted. So just funny thinking about that's something that occurred in the 1870s that a little different today. Of course, we don't typically see the shirtless collars and that. And then one more that I thought was really amusing. This was in the Manhattan Nationalist. This was December 12, 1879. It said, quote, "Christmas is coming, and the most acceptable present you can give to your friend is your photograph, taken in Burgoyne's best style at his new gallery opposite Purcell's Bank in Manhattan." And I thought that was so funny. I told that to my husband. He goes, "Oh, well, that would have taken care of a lot of Christmas presents for me. I just give a picture of myself."
Yeah.
But thinking of the time, I mean, getting your photograph taken, would have been a relatively new experience for people, and to exchange those cabinet card photographs would have been fairly common and a really nice gift. But when we think of today, I just can't imagine giving a friend a picture of myself today. So that's something, too, it's a little different that we do today.
Yeah, I guess.
There's something that was different.
Yeah, the only reason I would maybe give a picture would be maybe in a Christmas card, just kind of a family photo or something like that. But that's kind of interesting that would be like a popular gift. Merry Christmas. Here's a photo of me, you know?
Exactly. But that's a good point, too, with Christmas cards. I mean, it's your family, though, that you're sending in cards. And that was also something common in the 1870s. And here at the Raleigh County Historical Society Museum, we have a fairly extensive collection of holiday postcards and Christmas postcards that were sent commonly to family and friends. So that's also neat to see, too. And they're beautiful. Just the illustration and design on them are just beautiful, as many Christmas cards are today.
One thing I just thought of here as far as gift getting and delivering gifts, Was the Pony Express ever utilized, maybe during its brief existence in Kansas, for, you know, gifts, gift giving?
You know, that is a great question. That I'm not sure of, since it was so short-lived, but it is possible that it was. That's a great question, and I'll have to look into that. But what was utilized, of course, was the railroad. And the railroad went through Manhattan in 1866, so pretty early on, and that's when you start seeing Christmas traditions or holiday traditions really advertised in the local papers was at that time. And they talk about the different foods that they have that are brought in via the railroad. Oysters were popular, and I think for some families that's still popular today to have oysters for Christmas. But different gifts, such as they had pastor sets, cutlery sets, things like that. But that would have been how they were delivered to Riley County, was via the train. And in addition to that, Christmas ornaments. It was in the 1880s that you had the shipment of glass globe ornaments, and it was F.W. Woolworth who started really promoting those. So those would be shipped to communities such as Manhattan. You would purchase these glass globe ornaments, and you would paint them yourself to hang on the tree. So there was an artistic, personal element, but that was those were brought in the 1880s here in the area.
Yeah, and you mentioned the name Woolworth, and you know, I remember it briefly from my childhood. We had a Woolworth store where I lived in Idaho back in the day, but I haven't seen him probably for 25 years. Those were very popular, I guess, back in the early parts of America.
Yes, and Manhattan did have one as well. And I wish I could remember. I can't remember exactly when that closed. I'm sure some listeners might know when that closed, but. There were all types of shops, especially in the 1870s, 1880s, that residents, even in Leonardville, Riley, Randolph, shops that had special window displays to encourage citizens to buy gifts for their family members. And one I wanted to mention here was kind of interesting. This was in the Manhattan Nationalist. It was January 8, 1870, so early on. And this is referring to a family in Wabunsee, but it says, this is, quote, Honorable C.B. Lines at Wabunsee probably had the largest family tree in the state. There were gathered at his house 6 married children and 12 grandchildren beside other relatives. The presents on the tree numbered 350. Is there another family in the state that can equal this? And my goodness, I'm just trying to visualize what that would have looked like. And I don't know if you caught in the article here, it says presents on the tree. So that's something that's a little different than that from what we do today. The presents were actually placed on the tree. So you could find articles where the gifts, depending on the size, they're weighing down the branches. And but the gifts would have been in the form of fruit and nuts and smaller things like that. But it wasn't really customary to place them under the tree. They were placed on the tree. So here's this one example that was in the local paper about 350 gifts on the tree.
Wow, that's incredible. And, of course, probably back then, lights probably weren't on the tree so much like they are today with the advent of electricity.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. It was actually Thomas Edison who really developed the idea of electric lights for Christmas trees, and that was in 1882. Manhattan did not get electricity until it was January 1st, 1890, when Manhattan even got electricity. So before then, of course, you're placing wax candles, you would wire them to the tree, and that didn't always work out. You know, I mentioned some of the churches that would have community trees. There was one instance where they had an accident where the tree, they had so many people crowded in the church that the tree toppled over, and it had, of course, these wax candles burning on the tree. So they about had a very serious accident. I think they were able to contain the fire, but that was customary, as you mentioned, to have the candles on the tree as opposed to the Christmas lights.
Yeah, and of course, back then, you're using real trees because artificial ones probably, came later, I would imagine.
Right. And that's I don't know if you've ever had or anyone in your family had the aluminum trees.
No, I don't think so.
Those are pretty special. We never had one, but those were popular in the 1950s and 1960s. So I know they're kind of regaining popularity today for different people with the, it has, as my aunt, her house is straight out of the 60s, and that is her Christmas tree. It's the aluminum tree, and it has the rotating lights, the colored lights on it, and it's really something. But it's fun to look at how traditions have changed and popular styles have changed in whether it's gift-giving or trees over time.
You were speaking with Alana Parker here from the Riley County Historical Museum. We'll take a break. We've got more holiday traditions to talk about here, and we'll take your phone calls if you want to participate. 785-537-1350. In Focus continues after this.